The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A time for getting and a time for going and going
and going and going and going and going.
When you need a break, we're here helping you make sense of all the good and the going of the holidays. Happy holidays from all of us at UBNRadio.com.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
All right. Howdy, 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 everyone. And welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Mr. Jasper Cole, and we are coming to you live from Sunset Gower Studios right here in Hollywood, California. I want to give a shout-out to my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hey, buddy. Jasper, welcome back.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. I was in San Diego, as I said.
Yes.
It was a great time.
Visiting your brother?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was nice. We had a really good Thanksgiving.
Nice weather.
Yeah. And then we went to see a movie.
What'd you see?
I went to see The Last Dinosaur or The Friendly Dinosaur. What was it called?
How was that?
It was cute. Yeah.
Good.
It's a very emotional movie, I will say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I will say. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I hope everyone out there had a great Thanksgiving, and I did as well. We went up to Idlewild, up above the, about 7,000 feet above Palm Springs. It was like 29, 30 degrees. In fact, it actually started snowing on our way back down the mountain, which was kind of cool, because how often do you see that in California?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've been fighting this stupid cold. I think it's just an allergy, but I've had it for 8 days, so I sound kind of like this. But, you get the cold hands and the sneezing and all that stuff. But anyway, apparently there's
it's
been
the season.
Something going around, but I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful that it hasn't turned into anything worse than, you know, what it is. So,
and I see you're wearing your AIDS ribbon today.
Yes, I want in support of yesterday was World AIDS Day, so we want to give a shout out to everyone around the world. Of course, we want to remember all those that we've lost, and more importantly, we give love to everyone who's living with this virus. And, you know, thank God for the medications and everything we have now that people can live.
And
in fact, that brings us to our amazing guest today. We're going to be joined by former child star, now turned activist, Daniel or Danny Pintaro, who's going to be joining us, calling in a little while. He, I'm sure it's been a great busy time for him because, you know, since his own coming out status, announcing his status on Oprah, Where Are They Now? He's really turned into probably the most recent celebrity activist for HIV. Which I think he's done an amazing job also.
Yes.
And I want to talk to him about that and, you know, find out what's happening and what's going on after this for him, what's in the future and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, please follow us on Facebook at One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Twitter, One-on-One J. Cole. And you can go to my website, jaspercole.com. There's a link for ubnradio.com. And if you go on to the host page, you will see our 25 advertisers, including eFile.com, which is one of our newest ones. But we're also just so thankful to have all of our sponsors, and here they are. All of us here at One-on-One with Jasper Cole are proud to announce our 24 affiliate advertisers, and they are all .coms. InterServer, ZipRecruiter, Hilton Hotels, 3-Day Blinds, Adam and Eve Toys, BullGuard, Prime Slots, Russell Stover, Booking.com, Suzanne Summers Bath and Beauty, Quest Nutrition, Sur La Table, and Extended Stay America.
Additionally, we have EUK Host, Canvas World, Cheap Air, 21st Century, Liberty Mutual, Course Smart, Advanced Auto, Fandango, Meet Mindful, Flare Play, and Jewelry.com. Thanks again to all of our wonderful sponsors.
And now back to the show.
Yeah, great, everyone. So please go on the host page, and when you see something you like, click on it, and we will get the credit. So, JW, what a day, right? Yeah. Oh, God, this horrible shooting in San Bernardino. It started about 11 a.m. this morning. Apparently, at least three gunmen stormed into a conference room at this facility in San Bernardino. And even though the facility itself is a place that gives helps disabled people with life skills and stuff like that, apparently the news reports are that this was a conference room that they rented out to outside groups and had nothing to do. They were not affiliated with the actual company there. So these gunmen that came in and shot, they've sadly killed, I think 14 are confirmed dead, at least 14 injured. They did not have an affiliation with the disabled organization. I don't think they've linked yet to see if there is a link between the killers and this group. But apparently it was a pretty well thought out shooting, and I think they were in camouflage. And now since that, they fled, and they found them in San Bernardino. First of all, I can't believe dumbasses weren't smart enough to get the hell out of San Bernardino. Mm. You know, they had all this time. But I think two are dead, one is in custody, or maybe a fourth is in a church hiding. But I don't know if anyone listening has updates. They can maybe let us know in the chat room what the latest is.
But it looks like the latest was 14 killed and one suspect down is what I'm reading.
One down. Okay. Yeah. I know that they got one suspect in custody. Mm-hmm. When I left to come here, it's just been wall-to-wall coverage on the news. But when I left, they had a black SUV sort of cornered and all the windows were shot out. And you know, this comes right on the heels of the Planned Parenthood shooting in Colorado, and it's just, I don't know, it just seems like everything is just getting out of control. And we say this all the time, you know. I think a lot of people were kind of implying that, you know, some of the Republican candidates, they're talking about Planned Parenthood. You know, there's this video that never really existed that Carly Fiorina even talked about, with the harvested body parts or whatever, which is not true. But a lot of people hear this and they don't know it's not true. They believe it, and then they want to go out and kill people. So, you know, our hearts go out to all these victims, both in Colorado and San Bernardino. And what I always hate is that waiting period now when we have to start hearing about the real lives of the victims. You know, I get so horrified when you read and you start seeing who these people were, and they were just in a room celebrating the holidays. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, we're all vulnerable wherever we are.
Right.
And I don't know, again, you know, this is going to, the whole argument's going to come back again. If people were armed, could this be prevented? But you think about three men, at least three, coming into a room with who knows if they had, you know, assault weapons or whatever they had, and just started shooting people. I think people are so frozen and shocked and in fear when it first happens. I don't know if anyone has the right thought of mind to shoot back, even if they had a gun. Mm-hmm. So it's horrific. And I don't know if there's really, I don't know who to blame. I don't know if we blame that this is just the culture we're living in right now. But as the day unfolds and as the night goes on, more details will come out. But our hearts go out to all the victims, both in Colorado and San Bernardino. But getting back to yesterday, World AIDS Day, it's been, you know, for me, I'm 51. And so I'm at the generation that I was affected by it. I've lost a few friends from it, but like, Dennis, my husband Dennis's generation, if you go up 10 years, that's the generation that actually lost, you know, hundreds of people. And Dennis at one time lost an entire address book of friends that just, you know, died. And I guess it's interesting because I think about the younger generation today.
Yeah.
I guess they don't, that in some ways, it's almost like when we were in our 20s and we heard about, you know, polio or the bubonic plague. I mean, it's, you know, everything seemed, that was so far removed from us. I just wonder what, if the younger generation has actually really aware of what happened in the 80s and in the beginning and how many people died. And, you know, we've talked about this before with the whole PrEP situation now. With, and apparently it's been shown now that PrEP is working. PrEP is actually helping to keep the rate of infection down. And so that's a blessing, you know. But I just think it's great on this day, as of yesterday, that we recognize how far we've come. But we have a lot more work to do. And that's something I wanted to speak to Danny about later on during the show is, you know, what's the future? What about a vaccine? What about a cure? You know, what about... Because there's this whole thought now that just like cancer or any disease, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Right.
HIV is. I mean, if you don't, a lot of people don't understand how expensive the medications are.
It's like, what, 35, 40,000 a year?
I think, yeah. I mean, I think just, and you think
easily,
about.
Easily, right?
Oh, easily. Yeah. And now there's, you know, there's doctors that just specialize in it. And it's just like the same debate on cancer.
Yeah.
I've always said before, I just think. You can't tell me there's not a cure for cancer out there because that's been a much bigger industry now for so many more years than HIV.
Yeah.
So, but I do think that a lot of it has to do with money. Apparently, I mean, it, in some ways it's better to keep people alive.
Well, and PrEP is really part of the, cocktail.
Right.
Right. It's Truvada. Right?
People have taken Truvada as part of their HIV cocktail.
Right. So it's like they're getting you when you're on, before you're positive and they're getting you when you're after positive.
Right.
So it's thankfully insurance though is getting involved.
But my
right?
question
with
about
PrEP.
The whole PrEP thing is for people who are doing it, they're realizing that there's side effects and that long-term use of drugs are bad on your kidneys and your liver and stuff. So is, and I'm trying to be educated on this. So can you do PrEP and then stop PrEP and then go back on PrEP? Or, I mean,
I believe so.
It's like being compared to sort of the birth control pill.
Right. Because once you start AIDS medication, HIV medication, you are on that pretty much for life, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you, and it's, unless they change the regimen and all of that, you're pretty much going to be taking at least three pills or one a day, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for long-term survivors, the longer you've been on medications,
the resistance?
You build up a resistance. Mm-hmm. The good thing is they have these tests now that show you exactly what you're resistant to and which drugs. And so the longer people have it, the options become a little less, I think, because there aren't as many drugs but on the flip side, there's so many new drugs that keep coming down the pike. However, I read recently that Merck, which is one of the largest companies, they're not even actually making any more HIV medications because the focus now is going all over to the prevention of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it worries me for the long-term survivors that their choices, there's not going to be as many choices of medications anymore if these companies stop manufacturing them.
Interesting.
So that's something I think we have to talk about in terms of keeping that funding going and keeping the money going for it. So you're what, 41, John? 40. I'm
40,
sorry.
I will be 41.
So you're 10 years below me.
Yeah.
How did HIV impact your generation, would you say, looking back?
I think definitely. We were definitely aware. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and thankfully there's movies and things like that and documentaries and so forth to be reminders. But there's always been a strong HIV presence in the gay community.
Right.
So, but as far as is it a chronic manageable disease versus a death sentence, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so I did witness, you know, all of that. So I would say my generation, we definitely were impacted.
Well, you're a single guy,
uh-huh.
and I'm married, and I've been off the circuit for 18 years. So in the dating world, in the gay community, I guess we can only speak of, how is HIV dealt with now, generally speaking? Is it something people talk about right away? What's your status? Are you on PrEP?
It definitely comes up. It definitely comes up. I think PrEP, for lack of a better word, has leveled the playing field. Yeah, because, you know, it's a way of addressing that you are protecting your health by, you know, because I think a good answer when they ask your status is if you are on PrEP or you're on some medication that's, you know, affecting the transmission of HIV or protecting you from getting it, saying PrEP is the way to go, in my opinion.
But how
because it's the stigma is the worst part about.
How do you, I mean, back to what I said on last week's show about, I always felt you just had to assume everyone had HIV and protect yourself. Because how do you trust just because someone says they're on PrEP?
Exactly.
Or they say they've been tested. I mean, even if they present you with a piece of paper, it was even if it was a week ago, there's been 6 days where you don't know what they've done.
Right.
You know, so.
But someone who's undetectable, which means they have no, the virus is not being detected by the blood test, they're your safer bet.
Right.
And because they're managing their health, they're going to see a doctor at least three to six months?
3 to 4, yeah.
Yeah. So they're in better health because they're seeing their doctor on a regular basis, getting tested for STDs, STIs, and, you know, and addressing their health in a way that maybe someone who's claiming to be negative isn't.
Right.
And is wishful thinking.
Right, right.
You know, because some people who think that they can get it through oral sex and that's all they do.
Well, there you can get it through oral sex. You know,
and that's very controversial.
Danny Pintaro had talked about that, and he got a big backlash from the community.
Exactly.
And, you know, this whole thing with Charlie Sheen coming out, this is something I wanted to ask Danny about, too. Is there a double standard with a straight celebrity and a gay celebrity? Do you get more compassion, less backlash when you're a gay celebrity because it's been a part of the gay culture for so long? Is the stigma worse now still for a heterosexual straight celebrity? I get this feeling that it is. I feel like in some ways it's almost a little more accepted that if it's a gay celebrity, it's not as shocking for some reason, which is not my take, but I mean general public. I just feel like it's like I remember the day when Magic Johnson you know, came out with his status. And it kind of pissed me off a little bit at the time because I had seen so many people be sick with it, so many gay people die from it. And then all of a sudden, when he got it, I was working at a temp job. And I remember grown women were just bawling and crying and carrying on and everything. And I remember thinking, well, that's great. But where was this kind of crying and compassion when hundreds of thousands of gay men were dying? You know, there just seemed to be like a double standard. So I just don't know about that. It's, I don't know, because then you get into the whole drug addiction, meth, and does that, how does that, because I hear that's on the rise in the gay community. The rate of drug addiction is up again.
Right.
And I don't know why meth in particular seemed to hit the gay community a lot.
Well, from what I understand from people who have struggled with it, it's an invincible drug. It makes you feel invincible, so it takes away a lot of your inhibitions.
Sexually, right?
Yeah.
It heightens everything.
Yeah, and it addresses, you know, because I think that with sex and gay sex in particular, depending on your upbringing, there's a lot of shame.
Shame. Everything's shame-based.
Yeah, so I think shame is the root of a lot of the issues. I think that's why a lot of people use drugs to escape the shame. I think they also use it as a way of connecting with community in some ways, unfortunately. You know, the thing is, at a temporary high, there's always going to be repercussions and there's going to be consequences.
Mistakes and not good judgment.
Yeah. And
I mean, I have 50 and plus year old friends, gay friends that still deal with the shame. In fact, I think maybe my generation older have more shame. I think if there's any silver lining, it seems like the millennials, the younger people, I'm generalizing, don't seem to have the shame around coming out. You know, it's a lot easier.
Well, the internet's changed so much.
Right.
I mean, thankfully,
gay marriage now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the internet was what changed it all, because then you could watch gay porn, you could experiment, you could do everything through the power of the internet.
Right.
And, you know, back in the day, you couldn't get away with that. You had to go to video store.
Right.
You'd have to, you know, do all kinds of things to secretly, you know, meet up and all of that. So I think the internet has really changed it all.
But there's this whole resurgence, too, of like bathhouses, the sex clubs again. And do you think the whole PrEP and the Truvada thing is making that more prevalent, that people aren't as concerned now about getting something?
Well, from what I understand about the bathhouses is that they've taken a hit to the online hookup apps.
Oh, okay.
So everyone's not really visiting those as much as they are visiting one another's places.
Grindr, too, and places like that.
Which are they become the electronic bathhouses. Grindr, right. Scruff, Jacked, Tinder. All the different ones.
Well, Tinder's not, but...
Yeah. Well, Tinder can't... Not Tinder.
I mean, Tinder's straight and gay,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and OkCupid is...
But Grindr's sort of just... Grindr's strictly gay?
I
don't know.
It's gay questioning and bi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's mainly for gay. It's for men who are seeking men. Let's
right,
just put it
right,
that way.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So it's an easy way.
And for those listeners who don't know Grindr and Tinder, mm-hmm. Grindr is sort of like a GPS, right? I mean,
yeah. It's a GPS app. It tells you where someone's located. And a lot of people use Grindr just when they go to a new city or whatever. They want to see who's gay in the area, so they use Grindr to just discover who's
right.
Especially if you're traveling and you don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's not necessarily used just for hooking up.
But I'm always amazed, it's back to the same old Craigslist days or whatever. Oh, I mean, you're still, yeah. I mean, I'm so private and afraid of people wanting to kill
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But you are still setting yourself up for potential being, you don't know who, you show up at some stranger's house.
Right. I mean, that's why the bathhouses, for instance, are more safe for
That's
bed.
What I mean. Because
oh, yeah.
at least there, you, yeah.
At least you're protected. You give your ID at the door. You
right.
know, they have their information. You're protected versus
these anonymous, like just showing up.
And that's one of the pluses that the bathhouses use to this day.
Oh, is that makes sense.
Yeah,
they use that
over. A safe
over...
place to play.
Okay.
And that's a double entendre because it's a safe place to play because they provide protection plus they provide
safety
of security.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I never and no judgment at
right,
all.
Right.
I've never gone to a bathhouse. Mm-hmm. Again, back in the 70s and 80s, bathhouses were that was like huge.
Yeah.
And I sort of missed that
and
generation.
Unfortunately, they became a haven for a lot of drug use
right.
too. So that, kind of destroyed it in certain ways and then built it in other ways,
right.
But they have a no drug policy from,
right.
So
do they search people when they go in?
Bag checks and so forth from what I've been told.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning.
So am I.
It's funny when you've been out, I've been out forever, but it's interesting that because I'm married and not
yeah.
really in that whole scene.
Well,
I'm,
Palm Springs has a gay resort community,
you
right?
know,
which
and,
pretty much is.
Yeah, and it's interesting because there's a whole other thing that's happening.
I've never been. I would love to check out the gay resorts.
Well, there's
Springs.
A whole thing in not just probably Palm Springs, but there's a whole thing with older straight and gay people that the rise of HIV infection, the rate of HIV infections are on the rise
mm-hmm.
with seniors because a lot of seniors, I think, have gotten into this. Well, first Viagra
mm-hmm.
has
right.
done this whole thing, but I think they fell into this sort of malaise of thinking they were immune, they couldn't get HIV or something, so mm-hmm. they're not protecting themselves. And so there's a whole, I've got some couple friends that are psychologists and
mm-hmm.
I hear these stories, never breaking people's confidentiality or anything,
right.
but of just on the uprise of older gay men in particular that are sort of dealing with drug addiction and sex. It's almost like they're having a second childhood or they may have come out late. They
yeah.
were married and
mm-hmm.
had kids and now they've moved out to Palm Springs or places and.
Mm-hmm.
And they're maybe in their 60s and 70s, and they're sort of having like that kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
Like,
getting to experience
when you first come out.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right, right.
So it's almost like having their 20s all over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a rise in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I think, with Danny, with Charlie Sheen, with any celebrity that comes out with HIV, it's regardless of that person's own personal story, I think putting a celebrity face on the issue can only help.
I agree.
Ultimately. And Charlie mm-hmm. talks about he's really going to put, philanthropy. I can't say that word.
Yeah.
That
uh-huh.
is really hard. He's going to be putting his money where his mouth is, no pun intended, and really try to raise money for the cause, which would be fantastic. So, anyway, that's it. It's great that we have this once a day, one day a year, but the key is to remember to think about HIV and AIDS all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that it has, even though it's manageable for a lot of people, the side effects to some of these medications are horrific.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know the long-term effects yet. We've already seen that they do cause heart disease and liver problems and certain organ problems in people the longer they've been on them. Again, that's not everybody.
Right.
But given a choice, my advice to the young generation is, given a choice, you don't want to get HIV.
Exactly. Play safe.
It's not just quite as easy as taking a pill. So
mm-hmm.
So, JW, let's take our break.
All right.
And when we come back, we'll continue this celebration of World AIDS Day. You are watching and listening One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
If this life is one act, why do we lay all these traps? We put them right in our path when we just want to be free. I will not waste my days making up all kinds of ways to worry about all the things that will not happen to me. So I just let go of what I know I don't know, and I know I only do this by living in the moment, living my life easy and breezy, peace in my mind, peace in my heart, peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. Living in the moment, letting myself off the hook for things I've done. I let my past go past, and now I'm having more fun. I'm letting go of the thoughts that do not make me strong, and I believe this way can feel the same for everyone. And if I fall asleep, I know you'll be the one. Always remind me to live in the moment, living my life easy and breezy. Living in the moment, living my life easy and breezy, with peace in my mind, with peace in my heart, with peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. I'm a living in the moment, I'm a living my life, just taking it easy. Peace in my mind, got peace in my heart, got peace in my soul. Wherever I'm going, I'm already home. I'm a living in the moment, I'm a living my life easy and breezy.
Ah, the holidays. A time for giving, a time for getting, and a time for going and going
and going and going and going.
When you need a break, we're here, helping you make sense of all the good and the going of the holidays. Happy holidays from all of us at UBNRadio.com.
You're back, One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
All right. Well, thank you. Welcome back to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. We are continuing our discussion today on World AIDS Day, and here with my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hello,
hey, buddy.
Hello.
Everyone, again, Facebook, One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Twitter, One-on-One J. Cole, and check out our sponsors at ubnradio.com. Go to my host page and look at our 25 sponsors and buy something. so we get some money, keep our job. Right? So, JW.
Yesterday was Giving Tuesday, so.
That's right. That's a new one, right? That's the first annual?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Was
it? Oh, really? I don't know. I hadn't heard of that one before.
Yeah, I've heard of it. It was just interesting how the timing of everything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Now, you know, we tend to focus on HIV here in the United States, but since it's World AIDS Day, you know, we know the situation in Africa is terrible. It's not been great for many, many years about getting medications for people. But what do you think worldwide? Do you think the United States sort of leads in terms of getting the most in terms of medications? Have we sort of led the world in how much we've been able to achieve on the medications, and then it sort of trickled down to the other parts of the world?
Well, I know that there's some celebrities that have a big impact on like Africa and so forth. So with the Red Project.
Right.
So, and then of course Elton John, I think he works with worldwide. I don't think it's just US based.
But you know, so many of the, like when we were trying to get universal health care in this country. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious if there's anyone out there listening also to talk about with Canada and Europe and places that have had universal health care for many years. I'm wondering what the HIV treatments are like there and if they're, you know, up to par, better, worse.
Right.
Yeah, it's just something I'm not educated on, to be honest with you, because we're Americans and we focus on our own selfish selves because we think we're the greatest, you know, we have to always be the best. But I'm just curious if there's anyone out there that has comments on that. But regardless, it's regardless of who led the way, I think the medications are accessible now to more and more people around the world.
Right.
But it's just, again, a lot of it goes back to economics, as it does with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's interesting in our country, in a good way, in many ways, though, the poorer you are, there are certain times that actually is great in a way when it comes to being able to get services and stuff like that. You know, we kind of have sort of learned how to take care of our more disenfranchised, at least that way. You know what I mean? You can, sometimes you're penalized if you make too much money, you can't get the services that provide the free you know what I mean? The free healthcare medications. I always thought that was kind of strange. It's kind of like when you're starting out as an actor and you're poor, nobody gives you anything. The more successful I get and I go to these events, they're always giving away free shit, like $1,000 swags and gift bags. And I'm thinking, well, where were you when I couldn't pay my, you know, why are we giving away free shit to people that can afford it? Which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
The whole face of AIDS has changed, which is great, no pun intended either,
right.
Because you see now, I guess the whole thing about it being a chronic manageable condition has made it where you can't just like find, you know, point out someone and said, oh, that person has HIV or AIDS, which sadly is how it was, you know, 30 years ago because of the different diseases, the Kaposi sarcomas, the skin lesions and stuff like that. But, you know, in a way, I don't know. I don't know if not seeing it fuels more fire to what we talked about of people thinking that it's still not a major problem. So hopefully, again, people will remain educated. And I was one of those, I was not a big prep person when this first all came out, and I got sort of pissed off about it. And I was like, well, this is ridiculous. And what about safe sex and whatever? But I've been more educated about it in the last year and have met more people that are on the prep. And I'm starting to realize it's again, if it's saving lives, then it's the wave of the future. And do you think there will be other forms of PrEP, right? I mean,
cause, I do, yeah.
I mean, that, like, back to what we were saying in the first half hour, it's just going to accelerate more types of PrEP, right? So the drug companies are going to put their attention, I think, on the prevention, which is great. But again, I don't want it to be, you know.
And I think we have an expert on the line. This is Kevin from the Thrive Tribe.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good, and I'm here with Jasper.
Hey, Kevin, it's Jasper. Thank you for calling in. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm an expert at what? Don't call me an expert.
Well, just tell them what organization you represent.
Yeah, talk about your organization.
Sure, I work with I'm the CEO for the Thrive Tribe Foundation, and we're in L.A., West Hollywood based, but serving kind of L.A. County, the Southland. And we our goal is to end HIV through peer-to-peer empowerment, building community, and connecting members to care. And what that really is putting together for us, we have a group of about 2,500 guys who are positive or pause-friendly, and we do social events together. We do educational events together to try and reduce stigma, educate people on new advancements in HIV prevention and care, getting, you know, those that are positive into treatment mm-hmm. and undetectable so they can't pass the virus, mm-hmm. and those that are at risk and feel they need it for their lifestyle on PrEP,
right?
Which, of course, is the pill that keeps you from catching HIV. So it has a social component, an advocacy component, and a kind of healthcare cooperative component to it.
Where can everyone check out your organization online? Is there a website?
Absolutely. It's thethrivetribe.org. So thethrivetribe.org. We put every member through an orientation where we talk to them about what I just said, the mm-hmm. advocacy work, the social things that we do together, educational things, and really kind of, you know, rate your doctor, rate your healthcare, and really making sure that people are enrolled in all the programs that are available to them through the state or mm-hmm. through the federal government, and kind of, you know, peer-to-peer, sitting one by one with people and making sure that they're set up for success.
That's fantastic. We were just speaking earlier about PrEP, and I was being honest to say that and when I first heard about PrEP, I was very kind of judgmental against it and, you know, typical. I just was not educated on it and have gone out and educated myself on it and have come around to the fact that it's actually working and it's helping and it's preventing. And so JW and I were talking earlier about a lot of the companies like Merck and some of the large drug companies, their focus is shifting off now from so much making new HIV medications for people who currently have it, and the money seems it's all going to go now toward PrEP. So do you feel like it's going to become like there will be many different forms of PrEP? Right now it's Truvada, but it will just give more options in terms of PrEP in the future.
Well, you know, I'm also a commissioner on the LA County Commission on mm-hmm. HIV, and I speak with a lot of doctors, obviously, and a lot of people in, you know, the biz, if you will. And really kind of because the medications are so effective that they have today, I used to take 12 pills 3 times a day, some with food, some without, some had to be refrigerated. I mean, that was in the mid-90s.
Right.
And here we are today where somebody can take one pill. You know, I like to keep things basic. I'm not a huge scientific guy, and I think science bores the hell out of people. So if you think about chemotherapy mm-hmm. for cancer, they used to like flood your system and just kill everything and hope they can kill you at the same time and cancer would go away and your immune system would recover. Well, similarly, back in the day, they'd flood our system with all these drugs, hoping they'd work, that you'd live through it. And what they've really done now is, you know, down to one pill for most guys, it's everything you need. It's a very targeted amount, enough to keep the virus, what we call undetectable, so mm-hmm. that you cannot pass it.
Right.
So since there are so many effective treatments to get people to that state, unfortunately, only 40% of gay men in particular are undetectable. So mm-hmm. we've got a lot of work to do to bring people into care.
Right.
But on the other side, then, with PrEP, which is, as you said, a class of drugs, there are other drugs being developed. My personal feeling is, because PrEP is also being tested in shot form, so you'll be able to get kind of like the meningitis shot, where you get the shot and then you get a booster.
Right.
So my personal thought is it's very hard to cure a virus. The vaccine is where the R&D money is going now, research and development mm-hmm. money, and because technically you could treat everybody that already has HIV, make it so they can't pass it, and vaccinate the people that are in PrEP. Really is just vaccine in a pill form until they can figure out how to make it a shot.
That's right. It really is. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're at in the fight. Cause you know, if you're looking at it from a drug company perspective, the drugs we have work. They're having a real hard time, as I said, curing it because it's a virus. And that's a hard thing to do.
Right.
But a vaccine, they know how to do.
Exactly.
So that's my personal opinion and what I feel from experts. I'm not an expert, but the experts I speak to, that's kind of where I think we're headed. So.
Well, I love speaking to people like you who actually are living it. You know what I mean? You're walking the walk and you're not just looking at it from a sort of clinical point of view, but it's a part of your daily life.
Well, and that's part of the problem, I think, with some of the traditional ways that we've dealt with HIV is it is all very clinical, and it's not. It's personal. These are people. They are not numbers.
Right.
People that are at risk are people. They're not numbers. And, you know, we've got a generation, a younger generation that doesn't remember the past, and we've got to bring, you know, it's a 30-year-old disease,
right.
And we've had a lot of advancements, especially in the last 3 or 4 years. So we've got to bring today's science into it.
Everybody up to speed.
Yeah. We really talk a lot in our organization. It's on our website once people want to check it out. But the four HIV statuses, because there are four now. There are not two anymore. There's undetectable. There's what we call prepared or prepsters who are taking Truvada now, and there'll be other drugs that are in that class soon. The positive, who are not in treatment or undetectable at this point, and the negative, last I checked. And the negative last I checked is one that I'd really like to focus on as we close up here is, you know, 30% of gay men have never been tested for HIV.
Wow.
So they're not being tested for STDs, they're not being tested for anything. Gay men's sexual health, gay men have a very different set of health circumstances that we need to deal with, and it's not just about HIV. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now the testing window averages about 11, 12 months.
Right.
And if all the gay men got back to quarterly testing, the sooner you catch HIV, the better, because you can get yourself to an undetectable state and not pass it to as many people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we need to do, is get the fear and the stigma out of all of this
right.
and get people back to being good stewards of their own health and the health of their partners. Because
absolutely.
As a gay community, that's how we can eliminate it. I'm a big believer that the gay community can figure it out. Everybody else can kind of follow us because
Amen.
That's what they did with the medications.
Right. Amen.
We fought for them, and they are the beneficiaries, and that's terrific.
Well, listen, thank you so much for calling in. Again, it's thrivetribe.org, and JW put the information up on the screen.
I sure did. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Thank you. And
absolutely. Jasper, anytime you want to come in, just let me know. I'd love to come in.
That would be great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Sean. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And I believe, JW.
We do. I think Danny Pintaro is on the line. Danny, are you there?
Is this Danny?
Well, he was there.
Oh, okay. Well, Danny or Daniel, we're going to find out which one he prefers, has been trying to call in. I guess there's been, he's traveling. He's en route back to Las Vegas. So there's been some problems with the phones, which happens technically, but we're going to try to get him back on the line.
Yep, I'm calling him right now.
Yeah, but that was great. That was great to have Thrive
Kevin.
Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin was
he's
fantastic.
Amazing.
So we will see if we can get Mr. Danny. I feel like we're calling with a giveaway.
I know, right?
So.
Danny, are you there?
Hey, Danny?
No.
Hello?
It shows.
Hello?
Hey, Danny?
Hello?
Danny, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, this is Jasper Cole. You're live on air. How are you? Okay. We're having the connection problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, we will keep trying. Mm-hmm. But Kevin brought up a great point about the four different categories.
And I have them on the screen.
Yeah. Well, the last group, the ones that are unknown, what did he call the last group? The fourth ones that don't know their status because they won't be tested. They are negative as of last week. There was some great, he had a great quote about that.
Negative last time I checked.
That's not just gay people. I think it might even be more straight people in that category also.
Right.
Of not getting tested.
No, exactly.
And so that's kind of scary. And he's right. You know, the whole thing is the sooner you get tested, the sooner you find out where your T cells and your viral load are at, the faster you can get treatment.
Exactly.
And so that would be my message to people is just get tested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be no one loves doing it, and you're always anxious when you get the results, but...
And sometimes the fear is far greater than the reality.
Right.
You know, so...
And knowledge is power.
Right.
You
and
know?
Especially with today's medications and the knowledge and the community and the support,
mm-hmm.
You're better off.
Right.
Knowing.
You're much better off
than living in
knowing.
Fear and hoping for the best.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, if we get Danny back on the line, we'll talk to him about that last category also.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, like Kevin's organization is one of many, you know, and he made a great point mm-hmm. at the end there about saying if the gay community can get it together, the rest of the world can. And that's been my thing about cancer and some of the other illnesses, too. I was always amazed, like, what the galvanization of the gay community, what we were able to do with HIV, in which pretty short amount of time, when you think about it, in terms of getting these initial cocktails together back in the mid-90s, you know, in 94, 95, 96, how fast that all came together compared to how long cancer has been here and seemingly, other than chemotherapy, you know, what other treatments are there? Yeah. Radiation and chemotherapy. So just remember, everyone, get tested and know your status. And then also be aware that, you know, there's a...
Get educated.
Get educated.
Yeah.
But there's a small chance. I mean, you know, anything can happen. I'm just a big proponent of condoms as well and safe sex. Because there's, like he talked about, there's not just HIV. There's gonorrhea's on the rise. Chlamydia's on the rise. HPV, which is huge, you know, is on the mm-hmm. rise mm-hmm. with everybody.
Right.
There's already this vaccine, this HPV vaccine that... It's controversial with a lot of parents because they want to give it to, you know, teenagers and younger kids.
Is that the Gardasil or is that
something
I
think
else?
That is, yeah.
Because I've heard that one. It was yeah. dangerous.
Yeah, so that's yeah. been sort of controversial. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, I think the great news today as we celebrate World AIDS Day is how far we've come
mm-hmm.
and just the amazing... dedication that people like Kevin and there's millions of Kevins around the world that they just devote their life to this condition and to this illness.
And he's done an amazing job. That Thrive Tribe is an incredible organization.
Yeah, and like I yeah. said to him, you know, I want
to it's a social group, but it's also an educational.
Yeah, I want to yeah. hear from people like Kevin that are actually living with it and walking the walk. I mean, I feel that way. If I go see a therapist, I love when the therapist has had lots of shit in their life, lots of problems. Because, you know, they're not just talking to me from a textbook. They're like saying, well, Jasper, I've been through this and this is what I'm doing. I always like that a lot better. So
mm-hmm.
so should we take another break,
sure,
John? And
yeah.
when we come back, hopefully we'll have Danny on the line.
Yeah, we're working on getting him through the office. So hopefully someone in the office can.
Okay, well,
him.
We're going to take our last break. And mm-hmm. you are listening and watching 101 with Jasper Cole.
I had a way then, losing it all on my own. I had a heart then, but the queen has been overthrown. And I'm not sleeping now, the dark is too hard to beat. And I'm not keeping now, the strength I need to push me.
One-on-one with Jasper Cole.
All right. Welcome back to this last little phase of the show here. So due to the technical problems in terms of traveling and cell phones and trying to get a connection, we're not able to get Danny live, but we are going to record the interview when we go off the show today, and we will have that for you guys. And so I didn't want you to think that we had just misled you about Danny Pitaro. But he was on his way, or is on his way back to Vegas. So we just couldn't get him on. But I think we had a great discussion today anyway about HIV and AIDS.
We did.
And thank you to Kevin from the Thrive Tribe for calling in. And again, everyone, just make it a great, great rest of the week. We will be back here next Wednesday. We're in the middle of the holiday season now, so ho, 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 and thanks for joining us, and we will have the interview with Mr. Danny Pitaro for you shortly. Okay, thanks so much. Have a great one. Peace
out.
Thanks
for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.